How are animals treated that are raised for food, and why is this accepted as normal?
Let me take the I cannot answer to you why there are a number of heinous behaviors practiced by humans the world over that are accepted as normal or reasonable. Animals that are raised for consumption. I don't even like to call them food because they're not food. They're creatures. They're living creatures. I mean, it's I often fantasize about what if a alien species came to this planet, landed, in downtown New York, Washington, D.C., and the major cities of the world, and announced to human beings the fact that we are able to travel intergalactically, get here in a speedy fashion, shows that we are intellectually superior to all y'all, every last one of you. Therefore, because we're your intellectual superiors and our technology clearly is better than yours, we are now going to start to farm and eat you. People would be appalled. They're like, wait, no, I want to live. That's not right. It's not fair. Hey, but we're smarter than you. We have better technology than you. And isn't that what you're doing to the animals? You say that because you are allegedly more intelligent, depending on how you define intelligence. And I just have to stop here and say, I love that question that people always ask about, well, if you're alone on a desert island with a pig, what are you going to do? You're going to kill the pig and eat it? And I always say, no, I'm going to follow the pig around, see what it eats and eats whatever it eats. Because pigs are very good at sniffing out edible plants and roots and so forth. And that's the kind of intelligence we don't have. But it certainly has made them very successful creatures. But this idea that simply because we are, in by some measures, smarter or have better technology, that that gives us the right to brutalize, murder, and consume other creatures is specious and wrong. And we certainly wouldn't want it done to us. And so the question naturally comes, then why are we doing it to other animals? And the what I also find heinous is that whenever the animal agribusiness industry depicts to people how they raise their animals that they are dismembering and selling for consumption, they always show happy cows gamble, bouncing around a pasture. They show chickens out in a courtyard scratching and pecking for grain. And that could not be further from the reality. What's closest to the reality that most of these animals deal with are, and my apologies in advance if any of my Jewish friends are offended by this, but clearly what's most closest to the way these animals are raised are pictures from the death camps that the Nazis ran, where they had people crowded into these filthy, overcrowded conditions. They were locked. These animals are locked in cages. They are not allowed to move. Even so-called free-range chickens are really confined to these giant sheds where they sit and live on the floor, meaning that they aren't in a cage, but they're really confined to a giant prison cell. And the whole point of it is that there's a reason that marathon runners are skinny and couch potatoes aren't. Because the more energy you expend moving, the less you have for putting on body tissue. So they purposely want to keep these animals confined because it means that more of the food that they eat will then go into putting on body weight as opposed to being expended by exercising. So these animals are, and many of the chickens are kept in such crowded conditions that You know, when mammals are forced into confined spaces, they tend to fight. It's the same with humans too. And the chickens start to peck each other. So they burn their beaks off. Or they burn half of their beaks off so they can't hurt each other. That's a very painful process for a chicken because they have all sorts of nerve endings in their beak, which is what allows them to use their beak to find food. With pigs, they cut their tails off because when they're in chronic conditions, they become neurotic and start to chew at each other's tails and bite at each other. They are kept in such confined, filthy conditions that disease would naturally spread among them and kill them. So they are continually fed and antibiotics and doused with pesticides and insecticides to try and keep the bacterial population down so that these animals will live longer, live long enough to reach market weight. The conditions they are kept in are absolutely horrific. They're cruel. They live a life of nonstop torture. Another thing that people don't realize about beef cattle is that because beef cattle are ruminants and their digestive system is designed to process fiber or cellulose, many farmers or people who raise cattle will buy what's called chicken litter from poultry producers. What is chicken litter? Chicken litter is chicken poop. I wanted to use the S word, but I'm not going to. It's chicken crap. Because birds, because they have these short digestive systems, when chickens are fed corn and that corn passes through their system, a lot of the fiber is not processed. So they scoop up this chicken and turkey manure, mix it in with alfalfa and other feed items for the cows, and they feed them this chicken litter because that's a cheap way of putting weight on the cows. So the beef that people are buying in the market has likely been raised, comes from an animal that has been fed chicken crap. Now, the government guidelines say that the cattle ranchers have to stop feeding the chicken crap feed mixtures 6 weeks before they send the animal to be slaughtered. But it's disgusting nevertheless. And so these are just some of the horrors that these animals that are raised for consumption have to go through. And that's because the only way to supply the amounts of meat and tissue to the market that fast food restaurants and people require if they're going to be eating meat all day, every day, is to raise these animals on an industrial scale. And that requires just monstrable cruelty. And again, I cannot tell you why it's accepted, except to say that that's part of the reason the industry lies to people and gives them all these pretty pictures of cows, you know, racing around the pasture and chickens, you know, allowing to be chickens, because they knew that if most people actually saw the ways these animals were raised, people would be so horrified and sickened they would not want any part of it because it is cruelty and torture.
Why was it important for you to come back and speak with us here at the Real Truth About Health Conference?
One of the amazing things about the Real Truth About Health Conference is that it is one of the most comprehensive plant-based and health conferences I've ever participated in. The thing that impressed me immeasurably was the thoroughness in the subject matter that is addressed, and the time allotted to the presenters to adequately lay out the theory, science, and reasoning behind why they take the positions that they do. It's simply one of the best conferences I've ever participated in, and I was honored to be asked to participate the first time, and I'm honored to be asked to come back and participate again.
Well, we're honored to have you, and we really appreciate that, and we appreciate all of your very meaningful work, and for joining us here today and making an impact for our audiences as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm just looking forward to the time when COVID is done and we can actually do this in person again, because as useful as this Zoom technology is, there's really nothing like being able to really get in, meet people, interact with them, talk to them one-on-one, and have that human contact. But, you know, that's coming, and it's something we'll look forward to.
We are definitely looking forward to that as well. Thank you again for everything today, Doctor.
You're very welcome.
Be well.
All right, you too.